Drop the Subject. That's right. You came to the right place if you're looking for Drop the Subject with Ali and James. Hope you had a great weekend. Interact with us anytime. DTS Show at DTS Show on Instagram and Twitter. Today, of course, we have the Monday Munch Report to get to. There is lots to talk about. It was not a slow news week or news weekend last week. Found out, of course, the breaking news that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, has COVID-19, and so does his wife, Melania. Oh, no. I'm sure we will talk about that. We will also be talking about the Melania tapes because those kind of got buried and she told Christmas to F off. So we will get into that. And it is Monday. And since it is Monday, we do the Monday Munch Report, and wanted to start the show off with this because, James, this has to do with your weekend in particular. You did something that I have done before that is food related. It is one of the more underestimated things to do in the culinary world. This is the Monday Munch Report.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Yes, 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 yes.
What are you doing?
I'm blotting the grease.
It's the best part. Let me see that.
We went deep sea fishing over the weekend because, you know, why else not? Like, you get just your tiny little pod of people that you're like safe around, your little COVID pod, right? And you rent this boat and you go way out there. Like, way.
They don't call it deep farther. Sea fishing for nothing. It's not just sea fishing.
No, it's not. Right. It's not just like get on a boat and go out like a quarter mile. No,
no,
it's
no,
like
no. You're going for a while. Like, you're boating for about an hour just to get out to some of the fishy spots.
I'm not like a nauseousy on a boat kind of person, whatever. That didn't bother me. One of the guys in our group got a little dicey there. I was like trying to give everybody scopolamine patches to put behind their ears and whatever, because how nursey of me. But also, fish gills really, really creep me out. They have my entire life.
Really? Like, so have you been, growing up in Nebraska, I'm sure you've been fishing once or twice.
Yeah.
You've gutted a few fishies.
Boy, you know, the last time I actually really gutted a fish, like, was this intimate with a fish. I was quite young. And so there's lots of fishing, you know, lots of my cousins, lots of people went fishing in my life, hunting, like, Nebraska, right? Like, I'm used to this. It's not the, like, animal, human, I'm going to kill you and eat you sort of thing that really bothered me. It's like, they're like, here's this ginormous ass tuna or whatever we grab. I don't even remember. Half the time I was like, what is that? What is that? You know? Then they're like, grab it by the gills and like lift it up. And they're like, people
are
trying
to hold it up for the picture.
Yeah. Take pictures of you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't need a selfie with this fish. Like, I'm of course feeling all bad. I'm like, oh, but then they're like, no, we're going to be responsible. We're going to eat it. We're going to do all these things. Like, they walk you through this whole, like, whatever.
But is it not the best fish that you've had to have fish, catch it, take it home, throw it on a pan and make the best fish tacos you've ever seen? And that's really what it comes down to. I will quickly tell you about my horrific deep sea fishing experience. I've only gone once. We went for my friend's birthday. None of us had been before. And one of the girls who was going does get seasick. So she came prepared with, I mean, she had a bag full of all of those patches, the wristbands, the pills, the wrist guard. Like, she had everything.
Right.
And so she's giving them out to everybody. We're all freezing. This is in Bodega Bay. It's like 5 a.m. It's freezing out. And Katie's hungover, which is worse. But so she's giving the pills to everybody. And I'm going, I don't think I'll really need them, but sure, I'll take some. We get on the boat. And it was one of the windiest days in Bodega Bay.
Oh, no.
Everybody was throwing up. Everybody. And I'm saying veteran fishermen. Me and my friend Kate were the only two people that didn't throw up on the boat. Within 15 minutes, the bathroom was incapacitated because everybody was throwing up in there and then over the side of the boat.
Overboard, yeah.
Katie threw up 17 times.
Oh, Katie.
And we couldn't catch barely any fish because the water was so murky.
Right.
So we went and he kept trying all these different spots because we weren't able to. So we kept moving. Like, we wouldn't stay in a place for very long. You'd be like, no, this isn't a good spot. Let's go to the next one. And we're like, over again.
Right. Everyone's like,
so we did that for hours until finally they were like, all right, we're going to call it a day. And then they said that they wouldn't give us our money back. We had to go at a later date. But we also, in order to keep the money, had to invite a friend with us.
Oh, geez. Right? And invite a friend.
Invite a friend so that they can barf all over the sea. Oh, but God. I did catch some fish, and they were the best fish tacos ever. Yeah. So
yummy.
I'm glad that yours was not as traumatic as that. We will not be deep sea fishing again. When we come back, Trump, COVID-19, Covfefe. We'll talk about it next.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q. Allie Johnson, James Simmons, and we are joined by Ryan Basham, who is the Vice President of Communications for Stonewall Democratic Club and a very, very big activist in the, you know, Stonewall Democratic world, as well as a member of Biden's LGBTQ+ kitchen cabinet with an asterisk. Ryan, what's that asterisk?
That asterisk is that I am not here in a surrogate capacity, so I'm not speaking on behalf of the campaign. But of course I have opinions, so you don't have to worry about that.
Which is good. We love your opinion. That's why you're here. Listen, Trump's last week's news of Donald Trump being diagnosed with COVID-19 and Melania and, you know, others, that as the news has sort of broke over the weekend. So now, you know, we get to this question about what do we think are some of the possibilities that could happen with the future debates? As we know, this week is the vice presidential debate, and then there's still two more presidential debates, as well as the election. So sort of in your understanding, what do you see are some of the possibilities now that Trump is officially under isolation with COVID-19, the possibilities that could happen with these future debates?
You know, in a normal campaign world, when something like this happens, both the campaigns kind of, you know, they go on pause, they, you know, kind of go into a holding pattern. There's no way to know. Like, the responsible thing for Trump's campaign to do would be to not have events, right? And he should be quarantining for 14 days. And the reality is that for a lot of people who get this virus, the really, really bad symptoms set in week two. So, you know, it's really, I mean, it could change from one minute to the next, and the Commission on Debates is already trying to change the rules so that Trump's mic can be cut. I think it's going to change minute to minute, and I think that if they end up back on TV together again, it'll be an S show no matter what. But, I mean, you know, Chris Wallace is apparently getting tested on Monday. Thankfully, Biden and Dr. Biden have tested negative, but all these people around Trump have tested positive. What really concerns me is Trump knew that Hope Hicks was positive before he went to New Jersey for that fundraiser where he interacted directly with over 100 people. He knew.
Yeah. And then they're saying, oh, we knew like while they were taking off. And it was like, what? So well, they're trying to make it, they're trying to get off as scot-free as they can, even though they knew.
We'd already left. Sorry. As if the president never turned Air Force One around before.
Yeah.
Correct. Or that like technology would not allow him to turn the plane
yeah.
around.
Exactly.
Sorry, guys. Planes go in one direction. But, can't do anything about it.
But Ryan, do you think, is it possible at all for this election, the entire election, to be delayed over this?
Maybe try, but the Constitution is pretty clear about when the election is supposed to happen. I guess if Judge Barrett gets appointed to the Supreme Court in time, they could, you know, find some kind of machinations to make that happen. But no, I don't think the election is going to be postponed. That would be, I think, beyond the pale, even for the Republicans who care about our democracy that still aren't saying anything in Congress. I think even they would not be able to stomach changing the date of the election. It's in the Constitution.
He's, you know, obviously watered this down. We obviously knew that he knew it was a much bigger deal than what he let onto the American public. It's very well documented how Donald Trump has handled, or not handled, most would say, this pandemic here just in our country and globally, of course. How do you think this changes people's perceptions of this man who is so hell-bent on feeling strong and powerful and continues to say that he did the right thing around this pandemic, and now he's got the virus?
It could go so many ways. And what bothers me so much is that most Americans have missed the fact that we're only 4% of the world's population, but we represent 20% of the world's deaths from this virus. Somehow Trump's not fully on the hook for that. But here's the thing. It could be some people think that this is like a fake out, like he doesn't actually have it. He's just, you know, trying to distract from everything else. I don't think that's true. But what worries me is that he's not going to get that sick. He'll recover quickly and easily, and then he'll be like the poster child of, see, it really isn't that big of a deal. That really concerns me. For the sake of American public health and safety, it would be good for Donald Trump to get seriously ill in front of America,
right,
so that people can see how serious this really is. I mean, Boris Johnson was in the hospital for several days. He was on a ventilator, I think. And I think that was part of why the British government started taking it more seriously. Maybe that'll happen here.
It's truly an unfortunate circumstance when we think that our president has to get that sick for people to take something like this very serious. Ryan Basham, VP of Communications for Stonewall Democrats. We really, really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. Tell the kids where they can find you on social media, because you always got something to say.
Oh, I do. I'm on all the media, social at Ryan Basham, B-A-S-H-A-M, not E-M. Please don't call me Bash-M.
All right, Ryan. Thanks so much. We don't want to do that. We're Democrats.
No.
Thanks, Ryan, for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, y'all.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject, Allie and James, at DTS Show on the interwebs and the social medias. So if with everything going on in the last few days, there's been, I felt like, Allie, the 2020 news cycle could not get any more rampant and could not get any faster and could not get any busier. There was actually a coronavirus relief package that went through the end of last week.
Oh my God. I know. That's like bottom of the barrel. That's like at the bottom of everyone's scroll page.
Isn't it crazy? It was like $2.2 trillion or something like this. I don't know. Like, this is, we've been working at this for months and they finally got to it. No one's really talking about that. But you know, in light of, you know, her unfortunate COVID-19 positive diagnosis, some secret recordings actually came out featuring Melania Trump. And it's not getting a lot of press for obvious reasons. But, you know, we did decide that we're going to do this in a new segment called Melania Gate. Oh, wait, no, that's just me. That was just,
I mean, sure. Why not? We can call it Melania Gate. The thing is, the day that these tapes were leaked or released, and this is part of the book Me and Melania, right? It was one of her best friends.
Stephanie Winston Wolkoff, right?
Right. Yeah. And so she was her best friend for many, many years, and now she's just completely flipped around and been like, here are all the conversations we had, here's all the dirt on her, et cetera. And this just goes into the Trump library of books that have come out in this election year. Now, some of the things that she said include, she did make some comments about child separation, putting kids in cages, that entire thing. She said not anything that we really didn't already know. She mentioned it, and she didn't say anything that was like super revolutionary there. But we did learn that she supports her husband a little bit more than everybody thought. You know, when Trump first got elected, there was the Free Melania thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, she's trapped. She hates him. She doesn't want to be near him. And she disagrees with everything. So on the tapes, there's a lot that she agrees with. She also talks about Fox News wanting to run their stories and other, like, some of the parroting some of the things that Trump says on a regular basis.
Absolutely, including being, you know, kind of concerned about her polls, right? Like, where is she polling?
Yes.
Like, are people liking her and the things that she's saying? And the polls were up because of this and then down because of that. And she kind of wishes that people...
chatty. Like, yeah, chattier than I thought.
Very, very chatty, and definitely was sort of, you know, like, down... You know, sort of saying, I wish the media wouldn't portray me in this light that, like, I don't like him, you know, which I thought was really kind of interesting.
So here is one of the highlights, and just listen to she says a few things, and then she gets into her thoughts about Christmas. This is where things get interesting.
They say I'm complacent. I'm the same like him. I support him. I don't say enough. I don't do enough.
No.
I'm working like a... Ask my Christmas stuff, that, you know, who gives a f about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
So here's where, and I'm not one to just go ahead and agree and be on Melania's side, but there are some people that, like, doing this, the first lady has to do a lot of stuff when it comes to the holidays, like doing the Easter egg hunt, doing the Christmas decorations, doing the turkey crap, like all of that does require a lot of time and effort. And so I'm not 100% like, F you, Melania. There is a lot, like, who gives an F about Christmas and decoration? A lot of people, but I understand her getting upset.
But she's clearly forgetting her role as a woman in the White House, Allie. This is what women are capable of doing. She needs to stick to her role.
Right.
Stuff that, you know, who gives a f about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
Yeah, but 100%, you have
and
no
then,
choice.
And okay, and then I do it, and I say that I'm working on Christmas, planning for the Christmas, and they said, oh, what about the children that they were separated? Give me a break.
Okay, so then she goes on, and then she talks about how no one was reporting on it when Obama was doing it. And then she was trying to reunite somebody with their mother, but they wouldn't cover the story. And she goes on and on and on. But I think when we are looking into the holidays and thinking of things to look forward to, we just have to remember this.
You know, who gives a f*** about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
So let that be on your new holiday album.
You know, who gives a f*** about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
We just need iMarquise to remix it. Like Cardi B's Coronavirus or you about to lose your job.
I mean, auto-tune it, do whatever you want, but it needs to be, if the song of Christmas is this.
You know, who gives a f*** about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
I mean, we all gotta do it, and we gotta give you some commercials. We'll be right back.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject with Allie and James. Welcome back. Welcome for the first time if you're just joining us. And if you have any comments, questions, statements, expletives, send them to us.
Allie's phone number is 323.
No.
70. Oh, wait.
I'm a 408 girl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 408.
It's a @DTS show. I have been fervently hiking since COVID happened. I mean, I've always been a bit of a hiker as a lesbian. It's a tried and true hobby of mine.
You said fervently hiking, and I just quickly imagined you, like, literally, other than when you're on the air, just hiking. Like, you don't sleep. You don't do anything else. You haven't done any laundry.
Through the night with you're that little, like, lamp on my head.
I'm going to cure COVID. You're just, like, out there, just like, hiking away.
Sticks. Just going to walk it off. I'm walking 2020 off
constantly
every day. And there's this hill that I walk on that's across the street from my apartment. And I go up the same hill every day, and it's a pretty steep hill. You go up a pretty big incline for the first probably 5 or 10 minutes of the hike. And so, you know, and it's been hot as hell, so I've been trying to do it. I'm slow. Some days are slower than others, but I'm, for the most part, seeing the same thing every single day, which is nothing but dead hill. And I know this may sound a bit morbid, but I have always wanted to be that random hiker that discovers something.
That's like, because you watch too many, like, unsolved murder mysteries and like murder podcasts and stuff. Yes.
Right. It's like random hiker discovers plane wreck from, you know, the '80s with 4 million. Yeah. With, like, bones in it and, like, drugs or money or something or, you know, and then you interview the hiker and they're like, I don't know, I was just kind of off the beaten path, and then I saw, you know, and it's like at this cold case from 50 years ago.
Nice.
So I'm walking up the hill like I do every day, and I look to my left, and then I kind of keep walking, and then I do a double take, and I'm going, because I see to the left of me, and this is probably 5 minutes into the hike, 5 minutes up that hill, a suitcase with clothes spilling out of it.
Whoa. Okay, and that's like, whoa, that you're there. That's like fell out of the airplane as it was coming down or whatever.
Oh, so your first thought is fell out of an airplane?
My first thought is fell out of an airplane. My second thought is like someone's running from trouble.
Okay, so I've had many, many theories, and this, I took a picture of the suitcase. So I scratched that. I took a picture, I did not take a picture the first time I saw it.
Uh-huh.
Then the next day, the suitcase was gone, but the clothes were still there. So now all the clothes are still there.
Someone was like, I need that bag.
Yeah. They're like, or some other hiker was like, that's a good suitcase, I'm going to take that.
Yeah, yeah.
But left the clothes. So my question for you is, should I report this to the authorities? Could I possibly be solving a mystery?
Yes.
Am I being a bad hiker, neglecting? Okay, because I haven't done anything about it. And I can post the picture. I'll post it up on DTS so that you can see what this looks like, and you can let me know what evidence you think I've come across and stumbled upon. I could be one of the witnesses that you see in one of those documentaries a year or two from now.
Absolutely. They're like, world-renowned radio host and voice personality, Allie Johnson, cracks cold case, you know, 57-year-old cold case. No, honestly, I feel like this is one of those things where, okay, there's a couple things going on. Is there a homeless encampment nearby?
No.
Okay.
And because it's been so hot and because it's entirely uphill, I'm like, okay, if somebody committed murder and then wanted to ditch somebody's stuff, they would probably theoretically walk up that hill for about 5 minutes and then be like, I can't.
I'm too tired.
I just can't. I'm just going to dump it here.
Okay. So I do feel like these things are often clues, right? When there's all, they're like, you know, there was no clues. They were onto nothing. There was nothing there. It was like a definitely a cold case, dead end, dead end, dead end. And then random hiker was like, hey, I found clothes that matched, you know, and then they ended up matching the description of someone who's missing or whatever. Like, I absolutely think, I'm not, just for the record, a big fan of like calling the police all nimbly pimbly for much.
Right. No, but that's why I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. But I do feel like in this situation where there's no like maybe people involved, like you're the person involved, they could just go take this stuff, do some forensics on it, evaluate it, be like, nope, someone just threw this out as trash, or there's a DNA match for something.
Ugh, and then I become random hiker. Ugh.
And then you get to host your own like show about being random hiker and like cracking cold cases. I think this is a thing, Allie.
I'll be the internet sleuth random hiking lesbian that solves crimes. Well, there you go. James and the Random Hiker. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject. Welcome back. It's Allie and James. And, you know, every once in a while, we like to cover some terms. Terms for sexual orientation, terms for gender identity, because under the Channel Q umbrella and under the LGBTQ plus umbrella, there are a lot of terms that you can use to define who you are. And we are just going to be completely transparent with you and say, hey, sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes you have to really sit down and break it down Sesame Street style. What do these terms mean? How do people identify? How to properly lay, you know, there's a lot to uncover on a weekly basis. And we're going to dip into history on this one. This is Coming to Terms.
Every day,
we are gay, but
we are gay. Ahoy!
Ahoy is right, James, because this episode of Coming to Terms is brought to you by the letter M. And M stands for a word that we do not know how to pronounce. I think it's metalotage. Metalotage. Metalotage.
I spell for you. MATELOTAGE.
Okay.
Metalotage.
Okay.
French.
Jesse is signaling that he has given us a pronunciation. So let's listen to the pronunciation and make sure we've got this right.
Metalotage.
That is, I guarantee you, not correct.
Metalotage. That feels like very Midwestern-y. You know, when Midwestern folks, you know, and I am one, right? I'm not hating, but Midwestern folks will just like slam a word together just to make it like make it work. Metalotage. My
grandmother she lived on San Felipe Drive and she would call it San Philippi. And it was just it was always things like that. It was just like, I don't care. I know how it's pronounced, but I'm just going to say metalotage. It's basically pirates being gay and sort of getting married, but not. Let's explain. Let's dive right in. Mm-hmm. This was
that's what the pirates did.
Yeah. Oh, they walked that plank up and down and back again.
And then sir did know how to collect some booty.
So this is what would happen, apparently. And the reason we're bringing this up, I know this happened 400 years ago, but it's relevant now because I think a lot of people might be interested in this lifestyle. So what's going on is that one male pirate, you know, he's bootying all up and he's doing his little pirate thing. He's doing his duty, stealing his booty. And then on the island of Tortuga, which is in Pirates of the Caribbean, but it's a real island, there was this growing trend of when they were kind of hanging out in between jobs, they would hook up with other male pirates and they would mate up. And then they would basically, sometimes this would involve a commitment ceremony, and they would sort of get married, but then not be monogamous. And then whoever was just stopping by the island, whether it was a female caller, whether it was another guy, it was sort of like a, hey, what's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. It was a take a booty, leave a booty situation.
This was apparently quite common practice in pirates' life in the 17th and 18th century. And there are certainly historical incidences in many, many, many cultures of homosexuality, particularly of men in sort of a warrior or a scout sort of role kind of thing. And so they went so far as to the French government actually sent female prostitutes to this island to try to convince them to sleep with these pirates to like un-gay them, because there were so many of these pirates that had entered into this mételletage. Mm-hmm. And it was not only a sexual thing, but it was also, it, like you said, Allie, like there was a commitment ceremony. There was often like an inheritance passed down. So like if one pirate died, that pirate's booty would go to their mételletage partner.
Oh, a division of the booty.
Division of the booty. So there was a romantic, a financial, a security, a sexual involvement, but it was certainly by no means monogamous.
Well, you know, if you look at some of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Johnny Depp was wearing a lot of mascara. And I can't deny that pirates being queer is surprising to me. Like, that's not surprising to me in any way.
Not surprising. No, not in the least at all. And there was such pirating was very much about being a counterculture as well. So
yeah, you're a rebel. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So it, again, same thing, Allie. It doesn't surprise me at all that there was also some counter sexual and counter relationship things going on durst pirating.
So yo ho.
And a bottle of rum.
Hey, yo ho. And a bottle of rum. A pirate's life for me, bitch. Be right back.
A pirate's life for us, too. We need to go collect some of that booty, but I promise it won't take more than 2 minutes.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject presents News It or Lose It.
Yes, it is News It or Lose It. I have two headlines. I will read one of them. Allie Johnson will make a decision as to whether or not she wants to news it. We will never speak of the other headline again, except I normally do. And then Allie will do the same for me, and we will carryeth on. Allie Johnson, are you ready for News It or Lose It?
I'm ready. Ding, ding, ding.
Headline numero uno. Irish court rules Subway loaves are too sugary to be called bread.
Ah, yes. Let's talk about this, because I heard about it and I've talked about it. I've developed an opinion and I would like to share it. News it.
Go ahead. What are my headlines?
Gender nooch Santa Claus is coming to town.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Okay. Then you will not be newsing the auctioning off of Obama's basketball jersey from high school, is said to fetch roughly $200,000 at auction.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of money for a basketball jersey.
It's a lot of money. Let me tell you about gender-neutral Santa Claus. Okay, so Apple is debuting a gender-neutral Saint Nick, which will appear in their latest iOS 14 update. And I guess they did it's one of those New York Post surveys or polls. So it's like usually only like 2,000 people, but 19% of them said that they believe Santa should just be genderless and should just be Santa. Like there's no sexuality, there's no gender, just a human being that brings presents to your house and moves on and still sort of breaks and enters into your domicile. What do you think about it? I mean,
that just settled in, breaks and enters into your domicile.
They're B&Eing all night, but
right. I mean, hello. I mean, yes, it doesn't take a gender to love milk and cookies and deliver presents and do all of those things that Saint Nick is to a lot of people. I'm trying really hard not to do this a lot, but what I do go to is like, okay, that's great, Apple. Thank you. Also, are you hiring gender nonconforming and trans individuals into your leadership ranks, right? Like, who are the developers who developed the emoji, right? Is that person gender nonconforming? Like, what are your, do you pay for gender, people who are gender nonconforming, their mental health things that need to happen, like transition surgeries in your insurance plans? Like, I want real substantive change. I don't need an emoji or I don't need a figure, but also, representation matters, right? Visualities matter. Optics matter.
Right. Yeah. And I think that it kind of reminds me of the conversation that we had when the Golden Girls Hulu episode, the episode of Golden Girls got removed, because it was like a lot of the response from the Black community was like, we're not asking for this episode to be taken down. We're asking not to be murdered.
Right.
So it's like, okay, is everybody clamoring for a gender-neutral Santa? I don't know, but they're probably clamoring more for just equality.
Word, yes. So what did this, things like this do is encourage us to have conversations, right? And be able to say the things that we just said and other individuals. And so when it comes up in conversation, right? Because you guaranteed, y'all listening, someone at your workplace will be like, oh, great. Now Apple's got a gender neutral Santa Claus. And you'll be like, actually, I really think that's really cool because my kiddo right now believes that they might, you know, be somewhere on a gender spectrum. And then it brings up a conversation about people. So for that, I really appreciate it. Though I hope from these large companies, we see more like substantive action that's really impacting people's lives.
Yeah. All right. What's your story?
You know what else impacts people's lives?
Bread.
Subway and bread. Oh my gosh. Okay. So one of the reasons the world's going keto, everyone's like, don't stop eating so much bread, is because you can eat a little bit of bread, but it's the realness of it. It's about real food is really the key here. And unfortunately, the bread in Subway's hot sandwiches contain too much sugar to meet Ireland's legal definition for bread. And I don't know why Ireland all of a sudden gets to be like the bread boss. But there was a judgment that was handed down last week in response to a Subway franchisee who had appealed for a tax refund, arguing that its bread is a staple food and therefore subject to a 0% tax rate. Right? It always comes down to money, right? Somebody's trying to get money or save money or whatever. Well, these five judges in Ireland considered this case and they were like, okay, is this actually bread? And then does it qualify as a staple food? And sure as shooting, those five judges said,
sugar,
no,
yeah.
There's too much sugar in the damn bread. It's not actually bread. It's just sort of a substance to hold all your meat and veggies.
Well, and I also read that considering that definition, it's more of a cake than a bread, which if we were doing Subway cake sandwiches, I would probably visit more often on a drunken afternoon.
Right, because like, it would feel like a fun food, like a junk food.
Yeah, like just call it cake bread. That's awesome. Don't say that it's all healthy because it's not. Just say it's cake bread.
Just say that it's cake bread. I really like that. Maybe Subway should go the complete opposite direction. Instead of trying to be in this like health food company.
Yeah, instead of eat fresh, like, it's just eat crap.
Eat cake every day.
Eat cake and crap.
Literally. Aye. That was your News It or Lose It. No more than 2 minutes of commercials. For your listening pleasure, we love you. Bye. Mwah.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject. Allie and James. The new Channel Q. Yes, we're still new. And we thank you so much for hanging out with us on a Monday. Man, there is a lot going on in the world right now. We know that it is a tremendous amount of news, but we try to bring you some news and a little bit of humor and a little bit of levity and also to make you think now and then, including about deep sea fishing, something I did for the first time over the weekend. We, of course, discussed the political ramifications of Trump having COVID now outside of his, you know, the health of the president as well. We have learned that Melania hates decorating for Christmas. You got it there. Just about as much as the rest of us. She is not a big fan of doing this at all, particularly when there are more important things like trying to reunite kids with their families at the border.
You know, who gives a f- about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
Yeah. Allie solving crimes, of course, and ahoy matey, gathering booty took on a whole new meaning after we learned that pirates were like super into gay marriage. Like,
gathering booty. I love it. So that might influence your Halloween costumes this year. And if that's true, ahoy there.
Ahoy, my dear.
Before we get out of here, quick chatty chat about what you might be watching. I have started watching Ratchet and I love it, but I didn't know if you had started watching it or not because you are anti-Ratchet as a nurse.
Just as that's the thing that everyone jumps to, right? They can't remember any other nurse, like even Florence Nightingale. Like some people remember Florence, who was like a pretty much a total badass. She had some interesting religious and political views, I will say that. But for the most part, Florence was a badass. But everyone's like, oh, you're being Nurse Ratched, you know. Especially when I've been like in the last 7 months, I'm like, hey, I know we're in the backyard, but like, can we put our masks on, please? You guys are within 6 feet. And they're like, okay, whatever, Nurse Ratched. So I haven't started watching it because Chris wants to watch it too, but he can't stay awake past 8:33. So like we start it and then he falls asleep and then I have to go watch something else because he really wants to watch it. Ugh.
It's a problem. In terms of famous nurses, you know, if you think of the top five, I would definitely go Nurse Ratched, the nurse on the cover of that Blink-182 album.
Right. Who doesn't have a name?
Daryl Hannah from Kill Bill.
Oh, wow.
Remember, yes, she impersonates a nurse?
Uh-huh. Yeah, very good.
I guess any of the nurses from Grey's Anatomy. And, gosh, what would the fifth one be? Famous nurses?
There's, I mean, like, actual nurses, like Virginia Henderson, Dorothea Dix, like Clara Barton. There's all kinds of, there's all these, like, actual nurses who, like, really contributed to, like, science and, you know, helping to, and like, make penicillin and antibiotics what they are today. And, like, little things like actually treating wounds. Like, you know, they used to not really clean wounds. Like, we know, I mean, we fall and, yeah, and cut ourselves, and then we just, we know right away, you just, like, clean it and keep it clean, and then you'd let it dry out and all that. That was not a concept until nurses were like, maybe we should, like, clean this thing out with some water and soap. Oh. And, like, next thing you know, like, people are not dying in the middle of wars because nurses were like, maybe we should clean wounds. And that's the thing, there's so many things like that that we just take for granted that people, that, like, nurses helped foster into civilization.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's, I always hear it's like doctor invents this or surgeon invents this. And there are so many things that I'm sure nurses invented that we do not talk about enough. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that the nurse on the cover of the Blink-182 album did not make any medical breakthroughs in her life. So the fact that she's the second one that comes to mind to me is a problem.
one of my favorite nurses is Jada Pinkett Smith, who was in, oh my gosh, I just blanked on the show, Hawthorne, RN.
Oh.
It was like the R and the N in Hawthorne.
Wait,
she had
on
her show. No. It was only on for like two seasons, but she about 14 times an episode, she was like, I'm a nurse, God damn it. And then she would like dramatic pose and then like turn and run away or whatever. And so Chris teases me about that all the time. Like whenever I get dramatic about something, he's like, I'm a nurse, God damn it.
Oh, that's great. You know what? Nurse Jackie. That's the fifth one that I just thought of. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yes.
Great also, show. Maybe not a great example of a nurse.
Example of a nurse.
All right. We need more positive nurses in movie and TV. All right. Everyone, right, Figure that out. Until then, we will see you tomorrow. Download the podcast if you missed anything, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.